Nes yn ywt yma gael hwgald Sian Haas, Leo Brennan agos bael ymhael ffrid mae'n hasi'n bonna agos mae'n hannig Sian Sior tŵslan da eis na wahi agos fwy drami byg acw agos a Leo tegant yn gilig y mai a sfordaeth you feel more comfortable at
the name tegant yn gilig cynta but ni fe me abel ta na cestyn ni ar rat Mars Gart, come on, the cart before the horses, which can happen.
Well, you feel more comfortable.
Smoochum and Marlag is come on Gaelic, because Hannicham or Mars Gart.
It doesn't matter, but Leo, we'll start when you when your family, they had your mum and dad and a few more possibly, they formed a band, and was it plays they were doing first, Leo?
Yeah. Well, when my mum and dad, because they were in showbiz and to get educated, they bought a place in Omeath called the Sleafoy Ballroom, and it was an old wooden structure with the dining rooms and kitchen, and so that we could go to national school in Omeath. And when the school days were over at 13, 14, while my parents were touring all the time, they just hannished it, and we went on tour with them. That was myself and Lala, first off. And they introduced us to entertaining and singing. My dad played the piano, my mum the drums, incidentally. And the reason that being was that they'd have a wee dance at the end of after the concert was over for people who were sitting around and that, and maybe they'd have a waltz or a quick step or something like that. Or
so they travelled all the country, Leo?
They travelled not the six counties, but the other, the 26 counties, They travelled from, actually they called the show, they had a great leaning towards the west of Ireland, and they called the show the Connacht Concert Company. That was the title. And my dad was a comedian and a piano player and sang a bit, and my mum sang, and as I said, played the drums, and they did wee sketches and small dramas and introduced us into that world and
entertainment world.
Entertainment world. I can remember my dad saying to me when I went on the road, "What songs have you, Leo?" And I remember I tell the story sometimes about how I got this song was that I was a boy of 10 or 11 years of age, and I went, the housekeeper used to get a paper, a daily paper or a weekend paper, and there was a lady down the road, and she'd send us with the paper when she'd read it to give to the lady. And I thought I'd take a shortcut one day, and when jumping over a ditch, I came down on my wrist and broke my wrist and landed in hospital in Dundalk for something like 6 or 8 weeks with a broken wrist. And those days, there was no radios in the ward, never mind television.
No, not at all.
And there was another wee boy, he'd broken his collarbone. That was the only two of us was in the ward. So we used to sing to pass the time. And I learned "Red is the Rose" from that wee boy. And that was the first song. My dad, when I sang it, he played the piano, and I sang it that night then. And there was different artists, him to work with my mom and dad. What I mean by that, singers and cowboy singers and different types of singing.
They would join and the band at times?
No, they would. It was, there was no band in those days.
Oh, right.
It was concerts.
Yeah.
And we'd... I'd pick up the songs then that they had, and when they went on, they'd only stay a few weeks or a few months, I'd have all their songs learned.
Yeah.
And then I had more, and my dad and mom used to coach us in different songs.
So the music was in your generation.
My mom and dad decided while we were in school in Omid, we'd get some piano lessons, and they advertised and got this lady from Newry, 7 miles away, to come in once a week and teach us the rudiments or the start of the piano. And I was greatly taken with it. My brothers, Lala and Tony and Rosemary, they would do the half hour's practice every day, but I would practice for 2 or 3 hours every day. And I was greatly taken with the music, and a self-taught musician, because anything I heard or that I'd pick up then,
picked it up easy.
As a matter of fact, I sing some songs now that I learned from Radio Erne, when there was only one radio station in Ireland, and Radio Erne, and on a Monday you'd get the Mitchelstown Creamery programme or the Walton programme. I'd take a fancy to some of the songs that, and I learned them and sang them. And I'm still singing them, all of the songs. Anything I put on the computer here, I always tell them it's there. And to my greatest of pleasures, sometimes somebody will come and ask me, and they'll say to me, especially American visit, my granduncle or my grandfather used to sing a song. And I don't know the name of it, but he'd sing a few words. And she was there in the computer.
And it gave
me always a great thrill, along with the person that I was singing to, you know.
Yeah.
That was, of course, that's my whole attitude to the entertainment. Every single day is a different day, and I'm in the one corner now for 38 years singing, and I enjoy it.
Of course you do. Well, Leo, when we just go, when we're on about your parents and the wee dramas and plays, when was it, what's your first recollection and your memories of when you first came here to Bedore?
I came with the show.
Yeah.
We came and we did concerts in all the local halls, Dunlouis, Gandhi, Dunlow, right up to parts of Inishowen. We toured round, and strange to say, it was somewhere around the mid 40s we came round here, and we did the circuit twice, and then what I blame is the government licensed all these wee halls for dances, to have a dance every week. So it was impossible to get some of these halls then for a whole week's concerts from Monday to the following Monday, and then move on to the next. So because I had taught myself how to play an accordion, I got one, and then I got a bigger one, and I kept the one I had to my brother Lala, and then I got a bigger one again, and it went down the way from Lala to Tony and Rosemary, and we all played accordions a bit.
Would that have been, it wouldn't have been very pricey at the time of the year, but at the same time money was scarce.
Oh, you're talking about the wee concerts, you'd be talking about sixpence or a shilling admission. Yeah. And even less, fourpence admission.
I'm sure.
Like, even when we went into the dance band business, the dance halls, the dances were only a shilling anyway. And I can remember going to Ardra on a Sunday night with my dad, my mom, my brother and my sister and myself, and playing from about 8:30 to 12, and the admission into the dance hall was 4 old p, and we used to get £6 drive up from Minalek up to Ardra and play and come back down. And the money that we used to get at the dances, my mum ran the band. She was the spokesperson and ran the band.
And she played the drums.
And she played the drums in those days. Would be £8 or, as I said, £6 for a short dance and £8 for a long dance.
And roads that were poor enough, Leo, at the time.
Oh, the roads, Jabers. Imagine going up Glen Yesh to Glen Columkill. it was... My mum used to drive the band as well as drum.
So she drove a van or...?
A kind of minibus car. We had a Chevrolet, a big Chevrolet car first, and we used to tie the instruments in the back boot and anything on the top. No, most of the instrument, the drums and everything, would be sticking out the back. And my mum would drive, we'd go the whole way to Glen Columkill or Glantys or Ardra or Kilclooney. There was dance halls in every crossroads.
Of course, yeah.
We dance halls in every crossroads at those days.
And you did the local ones here, of course.
And, oh, yes.
Yeah. But there wouldn't have been many dances, Ricky, would there, Leo?
Oh, they tried to have one every week, you see.
Yeah.
And, or every month at least. So, I had books where we played when I took over the band. And the band became very popular because we got a couple of local musicians into it. Johnny Janey, Danny Ward, and Paddy Joe, and Michael Morgan. Well, 300 dances a year.
You booked.
We were booked. And there was 6 weeks of Lent. There was only a dance on a Patrick's night.
Thank God.
I know. That
so
was
this is when you formed Slieve Foy, Leo?
No, we formed the Slieve Foy. We moved from the showbiz to the dance halls.
Right.
As I said, the reason being that some of the locals asked my mum, could we play at a dance in Gandhi's for somebody or some charity or something, and we played, and then we played at some other dance, and then mummy decided we'd settle down and run the band.
Yeah.
And my dad looked after the writing and letters and everything, and my mum, she was the spokesperson.
So you bought a place in Gidor, or...?
No, we were living in Mickey Johnny's and a house in Minalek that's only just been tumbled down. Mickey Johnny had a bed in the kitchen and the rest of the house. It was a two-story house.
The house just turned in towards...
Yeah.
I remember the house.
Yeah. Well, we more or less settled down there and ran the band from there.
Yeah.
until right up until the 50s. And my dad, he passed out, got a heart attack playing at a dance in Middletown on a Halloween night in 1950, I think it was 1952. And that's when we started then taking in others. As Tony, because there was no dancing in Lent, the first Lent, Tony went off to Scotland with some of the local boys to work and never came back. Went down from Glasgow to Birmingham and met a girl there from Dublin, from outside Dublin, and got married. And then I had half sisters in America, and he went out and joined them and worked in television installments and installations in Florida and Pensacola. But
you took new members into the band then, Leo?
What, pardon?
You took new members into the band?
Yeah, because Mommy, the dance hall had changed. In our early days, we had Kaylee, old time, and modern dancing. What I mean by modern dancing was quick steps and foxtrots. And, a Kaylee dance, maybe a Siege of Venice or a Walls of Limerick or that, and plenty of waltzes. And
but it started to change, Leo.
Then it started to change with the rock and roll, and that was more difficult for my mom, we say. So, actually, what happened was, in 1952, I got married to Baba, my wife, and left the band and went for a couple of years to Dublin, and worked in Dublin until 1954. That's the year my dad, my brother Lala, and Mommy and Daddy and Rosemary were running the dance band, and they took in Johnny Janey and Danny Ward, and then Paddy Joe and Michael Morgan. And I came back down from Dublin in 1954 and took over the band then from my mum. And that was it. We played 7 nights a week in the summertime.
My God.
And I remember one year there used to be a marquee dancing in different places, and there was a big marquee used to be in Dunlow, and they had different bands, and we were so popular and going so well, we did nearly the whole week or 10 days in the marquee in Dunlow.
But how would you describe your band? Would you call it
incidentally, we took the name with us from Omeath, the Sleaf Foy Band.
Right.
And that's where and it was, we once took in the younger ones, then we were rock and roll and modern dancing, and still always in touch with the Irish dancing. But it was a mixture.
Yeah.
And we were changing with the times, the top 20 and one thing and another. When popular tunes would come out,
you learned them.
We learned them.
You had to keep with
it. You had to keep with it.
Yeah.
You know, to keep yourself going. And
So would you have started early? Like I know early on you played the saxophone, did you?
I remember the first year playing, and we were mostly, Lala had picked up a trumpet when we were touring. He took a fancy to a trumpet, and he was playing a bit on the trumpet, not a big lad. But the year that Tony went to Scotland with his mates, I decided that year before he went away, I was going to get a saxophone and teach him the sax, because he wasn't. So he never came back, so I taught myself the sax. And I started playing the sax then. And Lala was playing the trumpet, Rosemary accordion. And Johnny Janey had learned a bit on the sax. And I taught Michael Morgan how to play the sax. And Paddy Joe was doing a bass, and then he got a bass guitar for playing. So we had no guitar players in the band, and except when there was somebody couldn't go to a dance, and I'd get a guitar player from Derry or Belfast or something to play. And
Leo, then you were so popular, you said earlier, you toured, you went to Scotland and
played. Oh yeah, because there was, at that time, in the time of the Glasgow Fair, they used to come something like 20,000 emigrants home from Clonaily right up to Dunlow for the Glasgow Fair fortnight. That's why the marquee was going in Dunlow every night, packed to the door. All the dance halls were going as well too. They were all getting a night. But because we had moved with the times, and because Paddy Joe was a rock and roller and Michael Morgan sang like Slim Whitman and ballads, and it became the next thing was I was getting letters from England and Scotland inviting me over during Lent. So we decided then to, because of the 6 weeks of Lent, to go to Scotland and England and play. And this, we did that. We played in London and Birmingham and Coventry and Glasgow and Edinburgh. Some small halls around the different places, but we usually had the 6 weeks in Scotland then. We had, the first time we went to Glasgow, we had 10 nights in Glasgow. Well, there was a night in Edinburgh and a night in Coalbridge, outside of Edinburgh or someplace, and the rest was in Glasgow. And there used to be queues when we were going into the hall at night. There'd be a queue long waiting to get in to the dance hall. It was that popular at that time, you know.
Well, the immigrants, the Irish immigrants.
Was the immigrants, of course, that, and then the promoters, the Scottish promoters and English promoters, then cottoned on. One of the promoters was Denny Green's brother in London, who had managing the Gresham Ballroom in London, and I remember going for 10 nights around London, Ealing, and I can't remember all the places. I have diary books that with all the bookings in it, you know. But the funny thing was that it was hard to manage. It wasn't easy to manage because it's easy and it's hard enough. The novelty, the novelty of the whole thing was so much, it won hands down for everything and kept everybody going, you know.
Yeah, and the members, all of you were young though.
Oh, we were all because young. Even Baba played the piano in our early days,
yeah,
at the dances in Scotland and England, and anywhere where there was a piano in the dance halls, but there were very few pianos indeed. So she used to play, Baba played the piano and I played the saxophone and accordion, and Johnny Janey played the saxophone and accordion. He used to play Scottish dance music in Scotland before he came home. He was an emigrant worker too. And Danny Ward played the drums, Michael Morgan played, I taught him how to play a saxophone.
Yeah. But would you say, Leo, that it was a tough life on the road all the time? Like, not an easy life.
Well, it was a way of life.
Yeah.
And because of my precarious way of life, found no problem with it, you know.
But you loved the music, you know.
Oh yeah, I enjoyed the music. I was glad to be able to make a living out of it, you know. But like, we made no fortune. Like, when you think of it, in the early days, getting paid 10 or 12 pounds and giving 30 shillings to each of the members of the band, and a pound or maybe 2 pound according to the distance we travelled to Lalla for petrol expenses.
Yeah.
Like, I'd have maybe an extra pound myself, yeah, maybe £2.50 at the end of a night. But then 7 nights a week, it was good money.
Yeah. But it was tough.
I raised a family of 9.
Yeah.
And out of the whole business, you know.
But then, like, Leo would stay with the band and with the music again. Would it started to change again a bit later, Leo?
Oh, yes. What happened was, all the wee dance halls, that's what I tell the visitors to, all the wee dance halls closed. And there was no place to play then, only in the big, big commercial halls.
Yeah.
And there was big bands like the Royal Show Band and the Dickie Rock Show Band and this fella and so. You would get support band to the big dance. And as I said, if you played in the Fiesta in Letterkenny 2 or 3 times a year, well, that wouldn't keep the band going.
Not at all.
And there was the dance hall, St. Mary's in Dunkinealy, and the Parvisi in Donegal Town. And I decided what we'd do is we'd take in a wee bit more ground, we'd go down the country then.
Yeah.
But there were something like 700 or 800 bands in Ireland.
It would be hard to compete there.
So, there wasn't enough. So in 1966, I called it a day for the dance band.
Yeah.
During my days with the dance band and all like that, I used to play at private parties and weddings and
all functions.
And all kinds of functions that... some of them I would use maybe a drummer and one or two instrumentalists, you know, a guitar player. But then when the business, when I called it a day, at that stage I had started doing solo work because I had to work and the only place I could play was in the hotel lounges. So I remember going to Gartha Hark And O'Leary, God rest his soul, asked me to go over and play to the visitors. So I went over to the visitors and played, and it was an immediate success. Yeah. But and they used to go around with the cap and collect money for me. And then O'Leary put a price on it, £5 a night.
Yeah.
And I was five or six nights a week.
Yeah.
I was making more money individually that time than I was making with the band.
Yeah.
Even in the heydays.
But the change had come, your lounges had replaced the old dance halls. And
yeah, well, the hotel lounges, and then the bars. They started building big bars for, and
people started drinking more alcohol.
Then the music came into the bars.
Yeah.
So myself and my wife decided. I had been playing from 1966 to 1968 in Gortharth and then in Seaview and other hotels as well on the off nights that I wasn't playing in.
Yeah.
And the next thing was myself and Baba decided if I got into my own bar, I'd retire into it.
Yeah.
And then Minalek was an old fair village with three bars and three houses, as I tell the visitors. And the fair day, the 16th, you wouldn't be able to get into the village with people buying and selling and trucking, and the banks and the lawyers and the doctors and the dentists, everybody came to Minalek on a fair day. But the sad news and the bad news is that in the the end of the 40s, early 50s, the fairs died and marts came in.
Yeah.
And of course the village died with it. And there was only one bar opened in 1968 when I bought the bar that I bought. It was closed for 10 years except for open for a couple of weeks in the summer to keep the license in vogue.
Right.
The family would come home and run the bar. So,
Would that have been a run-down building, I'd say?
Run-down, would have.
Closed for 10 years.
Closed except for the summer months, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, sure, I had to re-roof it and knock in windows and doors and knock all the center out of it, because there was upstairs and there was double walls, and the walls in that building were 2 feet wide stone walls. So myself and Baba looked at it and decided we'd clear it out and make a lounge. And that's how it started. And
it's known all over the world now.
Oh yeah, because Charlie, because of that, certainly is, because we've had every nationality in the world and every television from. There's nothing for people to come home from America, Australia, Japan, Hawaii, so many different places, and they'll say to me, "I saw you on television," because these people came over and filmed. And we had every film company from starting off and then Sweden and Norway and Holland and Germany and Italy and France and nearly every country in the world. South Africa.
Yeah. And you play there every Saturday night and most nights during the summer, like Leo?
Seven nights a week I played in it. For when it opened, because it was the only outlet when the dance halls all closed.
Yeah.
And it was the first singing pub.
And it took off.
The people were chock-a-block full. You couldn't get, you have to come at 8 o'clock at night to get a seat. And It was amazing.
A huge success story.
A huge.
Yeah.
Oh, aye.
And then Leo, of course, we won't finish this without mentioning Clannad. You encouraged.
No, well, you see, what happened was then they were pulling the drinks while I was singing. Then they started singing in the pub. And people came on holidays in the summer and asked them would they go to Germany and France and Italy, and I booked them to go on tours, and I gave them a car for to go off and tour, and the place, they became so popular. Now, as I said to the visitors, you can hear them all around the world, the family and Enya, Clannad and Enya, and the poor old fella, he's still stuck in the corner.
It's a great story, Leo.
It's a great success story. It's just unbelievable, you know, like, and even at this stage, you don't know, will something pop up again, or, well, there's new music, like even Enya 2 years ago was nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah.
She didn't win the Oscar, but the fella that won the Oscar, he was 16 years waiting for to win it.
I know, yeah.
She'd probably win an Oscar at some stage.
She won it.
I watch a television program. It's 3:59 on Sky. And it's the classics. It's a classical. I was watching it the day before yesterday or yesterday, and who pops up there but Enya?
Yeah.
With her latest record now, she has so many. Clannad pops up there often with Harry's Dame, and the music from some of the films that they wrote. My sons wrote the music and it was performed in the films. I can't think of the name of the... but they've written so much music, and their music is so recognized. And it was so extraordinary that Clannad had a sound that was second to nobody.
Yeah.
Enya makes a sound second to nobody. Like, the two of them made two separate sounds.
Yeah.
And both were very complementary to the other.
Of course.
Because one sold the other, and the other sold the other.
Yeah.
And that's been it. So, as I say, they hardly play at all now, but just gather in royalties for their music. And we're not talking about pence or so.
No.
We're talking about big royalties.
Yeah.
Because how many radio stations are in the world? How many TV stations that are in the world? And they're both featured on both. And every time these appearances are on television or radio or anything, it's clocking up money for them.
Of course, yeah.
And
so
there you are.
Big success story,
Leo. Oh, it's a wonderful success story, indeed, wonderful. And as I say, I enjoy it myself because I'm such a success myself. I can't believe it.
You'd still go up to Leo's Tower and sing.
Oh, I'd just stand on the stage, sing, get on the stage and pull the old squeeze box and sing a couple of songs.
But the music world has changed. It's changing so rapidly, Leo.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
but there are niches in the musical world. Like, for instance, rock and roll and jazz and all these. Well, jazz has a certain following, and a big following and a certain following. Clannad have a certain following and a big following.
Oh, yeah.
And as for Enya, her following is nothing short of being phenomenal, like, yeah. Because young and old and people will come in and say to me, you know, my daughter got married 2 weeks ago or 2 months ago or 2 years ago. It was her music was played at the wedding.
Yeah.
My father died and her music was played at the funeral. And my children were born. We called the girl Enya and her music is played. It just keeps coming up all the time, you know. And as I say, you can't do any more with it.
You've done very well.
Well, I was lucky. The good Lord was very good to me. I had a great leaning towards the church when I was a boy. And I wanted to join the church, but because of the precarious life I led,
it didn't allow you to, you know.
I was more or less put off. Because of the different ways. But I've always had a great... I don't miss Mass any day in life.
No.
I like to go to Mass every day. And thank God for his blessings, because there's no doubt about it, I got plenty of blessings.
Well, Leo, I thank you very much for all the info you've given me. And I said to you earlier before we started, I'd like you to play some music for me, but we've already decided it would be better in the
when
there's atmosphere.
I know. Well, you can get a tape of me or a CD anyway.
Well, I recorded you before, but I think I'd like to finish this tape by going to the pub.
Right, well...
If not on Monday, maybe Saturday evening, you know?
Sunday evening now.
Sunday evening.
He put me on to the Sunday and Monday now for the summer, and because I've playing... I think I'm playing next week. What day is today?
Today is Thursday.
I think I'm playing next week at Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday.
Right.
So that's a choice.
Well, that's a great choice. I have no excuses now. Right then, Leo. We'll finish off this tape in Leo's Tavern.
Right, okay.